state, national, world, and local news, traffic, sports, weather, entertainment, and much more. This is News on the Edge.
Good evening, and welcome to Edge News for Monday, April 29th, 2024. It's time for a little less Mozart and a little more nonstop breaking news and smooth tunes from the hours of 7 to midnight here on 88.7. I'm Nancy MacInnis, and I'm with Michelle Lee and Cyrus Micah, coming to you live from the Student Union Building on the SUNY New Paltz campus. Topping tonight's national headlines, authorities detained or arrested about 200 people on Saturday at pro-Palestinian protests on campuses nationwide as student groups resisted orders to break down encampments while some universities pointed to anti-Semitic acts on their campuses. In Boston, the Northeastern University Police Department cleared an encampment Saturday morning after the school, claimed that it had been, quote, infiltrated by professional organizers with no affiliation to Northeastern, end quote. According to a school spokesperson, quote, kill the Jews, end quote, was shouted at the demonstration, though there were conflicting reports about who the remark came from. Quote, last night the use of virulent anti-Semitic slurs, including, end quote, kill the Jews, end quote, crossed the line, quote. Renata Nayul, Northeastern's Vice President for Communications, said in a statement Saturday morning, quote, we cannot tolerate this kind of hate on our campus, end quote. The heated scene was just the latest clash between students, police, and university leadership since campus protests erupted this month. At least 900 people have been arrested on campuses, according to a tally by the Washington Post. From Boston to California, student groups are demanding schools cut any financial ties to Israel, calling for a ceasefire in Gaza, and defying pressure from administrators to disperse. The turmoil has prompted schools to dispense with graduation ceremonies and cancel in-person classes. Zoomed out, it has put a sharp focus on American college campuses as the war in Gaza intensifies.
If the Supreme Court rules that Donald J. Trump is immune from being charged with crimes over official actions he took as president, it would be a momentous decision for the future of executive power and American-style democracy, but it is far from certain that such a ruling would derail the election subversion case against him. In fact, there is a scenario in which the court could render such a ruling without altering the charges or the array of evidence that the special counsel, Jack Smith, wants to present to a jury. Mr. Trump faces four criminal counts over his efforts to overturn his loss of the 2020 election, but none are exclusively centered on the conduct. Mr. Trump undertook his capacity as president. Rather, the indictment tells a story that mixes both official acts with private ones, meaning actions Mr. Trump took in his role as candidate for office. It then declares that each charge arises from the entire picture. Among the accusations, Mr. Trump spread false claims of voter fraud, plotted to recruit false slates of electors from swing states, pressured Vice President Mike Pence to use their existence to block Congress's certification of Joseph R. Biden Jr.'s Electoral College victory, and urged lawmakers to use the attack on the Capitol by his supporters to delay any vote.
The federal government plans to restore grizzly bears to the North Cascades region in northwestern Washington state, where they once roamed and were an essential part of the region's ecosystem, officials said. The National Park Service and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service announced plans this month to release 3 to 7 bears a year over 5 to 10 years. This will establish an initial population of 25 bears in the North Cascades, where grizzlies have not been seen in nearly 3 decades. The goal is to restore the grizzly population to 200, which could take 60 to 100 years, the agency said, noting that the bears would be rarely seen by people during the first 10 to 20 years of the effort.
Numerous law enforcement officers conducting a task force operation were shot Monday afternoon as they came under fire in Charlotte, North Carolina, police said. Officers from several agencies in the U.S. Marshals Task Force were carrying out an investigation in a suburban neighborhood when, quote, a subject, end quote, began firing at them, the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department said in a post on X, formerly known as Twitter. Multiple victims were taken to hospitals and gunfire continued at the scene for several minutes. A SWAT team was in the neighborhood on the east side of the city, police said. Nearly 2 hours after the shooting started, police said the scene was still unsafe and promised an update with more information, quote, as soon as the situation stabilizes, end quote.
Four zebras escaped from a trailer on a highway exit in Washington State on Sunday, leading dozens of residents, police officers, and volunteers to join in an effort to corral them. Among them was a person with particular expertise in the area, a former rodeo clown who mounted a horse to help usher one of the zebras back into the trailer. Quote, "It was kind of divine intervention. We happened to be in the exact spot and had the knowledge," said Julie Danton, who said she and her husband, David Danton, a former rodeo clown and rodeo bullfighter, were on their way back from a cattle drive in eastern Washington when they stopped to help.
And now, state headlines. Columbia University officials said on Monday they could not reach an agreement with student protesters who set up a tent encampment on the school's Morningside Heights campus in opposition to the Israel-Hamas war and raised concerns about potential disruptions to graduation events slated for next month. University President Manoj Shafiq said in a statement that academic leaders have been in, quote, constructive dialogue, end quote, with student protesters since last Wednesday to, quote, find a path forward that would result in the dismantling of the encampment and adherence to university policies going forward, end quote. But Shafiq said Columbia, quote, will not divest from Israel, end quote, rejecting a key demand from the protesters, who have called for the university to pull its financial stakes out of companies tied to Israel amid the war. Such a move could be complicated, in part because Columbia and other universities do not publicly disclose all their investments. Spokespeople for Columbia did not respond to questions about whether the negotiations with protesters would continue. Shafiq said the administration was urging the encampment participants to, quote, voluntarily disperse, end quote, and that it was, quote, consulting with a broader group in our community to explore alternative internal options to end this crisis as soon as possible, end quote.
Buried in the new state budget is one sentence with major implications for the future of MTA fare enforcement, a ban on the use of facial recognition. The new law requires the MTA to, quote, not use or arrange for the use of biometric identifying technology, including but not limited to facial recognition technology, to enforce rules relating to the payment of fares, end quote. New York lawmakers and Governor Kathy Hochul agreed on the budget last weekend in typical Albany fashion. Small changes to laws or rules were crammed into the sprawling document, including the facial recognition ban, without public debate. Transparency advocates often derisively referred to the document as the, quote, big ugly, unquote, for that reason.
The NYPD is upping patrols of Central Park after a string of robberies over the weekend, officials said on Sunday. The increase of police presence in Central Park follows reports of two reported robberies, one attempted robbery, and a fourth incident involving grand larceny from Thursday to Saturday. The string of robberies began on Thursday, when police said a 28-year-old woman had her phone and wallet stolen, and sustained at least one blow to the face from the assailant on West Drive near West 97th Street. No arrests have been made in any of the four incidents, and the investigations are still underway. The incidents follow an uptick in robberies in the area, according to crime statistics.
New York can move ahead with a law requiring internet service providers to offer heavily discounted rates to low-income residents, a federal appeals court ruled on Friday. The decision from the Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Manhattan reverses a lower court ruling from 2021 that blocked the policy just days before it went into effect. The law would force internet companies to give some low-income New Yorkers broadband service for as low as $15 a month or face fines from the state. New York State lawmakers approved the law in 2021 as part of the budget, with supporters arguing that the policy would give low-income residents a way to access the internet, which has become a vital utility.
That's it for national news. We'll be going to break in a moment, but first, the Edge Weather Report. Tonight, expect this beautiful spring day to continue with a low of 55 with partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow, expect a 64 and a low of 50 with a couple more evening April showers and a chance of thunder. Don't go reaching for that dial. Michelle will bring us back with some more headlines in just a moment. Your Edge News time is 7:09.
When might you be buzzed? When you suddenly love everything.
You guys, I love this song.
I love these nachos.
I love our kickball league. Ugh! I love this guy.
What's your name?
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzzed warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I love your car. Is this real leather?
There once was a boy wizard whose name was Larry Smarter.
Larry, why weren't you in Professor Dinky Doodle's mythical creature classification class?
Well, I'm taking Algebra 2 in a foreign language.
Oh, so you can talk to unicorns?
Exactly. Unless they're French.
Larry wanted to go to college, so he visited knowhowtogo.org to find the classes he really needed. Getting into college doesn't happen magically. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. You're just in time for the 101 on the 845. Average gasoline prices rose across most of the Mid-Hudson Valley last week, with Ulster County seeing the largest increase, according to GasBuddy.com. The average price of a gallon of gasoline in Ulster County jumped 20 cents to $3.66, while prices remained nearly flat in Dutchess County, inching up 1 cent to $3.76. Green saw average prices rise 6 cents to $3.74. Columbia County saw the only decrease in the area, 3 cents to $3.72. The New York State average rose 3.1 cents last week to $3.69. The state average is 25.4 cents per gallon higher than a month ago, and now stands 2 cents higher than last year, according to GasBuddy.com. The increase was slightly less than the national average, which rose 1.9 cents per gallon from last week to $3.63. The national average is up 8.4 cents per gallon from a month ago and now stands 4.3 cents higher than last year. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at GasBuddy, said he believes gasoline prices have reached their spring high, with prices starting to cool off in some areas. Quote, for now, few Americans need to worry that gas prices are going to skyrocket. The risk appears to be behind us, with relief coming in the weeks ahead, end quote, DeHaan said. Quote, while the latter half of the summer could potentially see hurricane-related issues, I do sense we've hit the top for now, and Americans should be optimistic that this summer will be very similar to last year, in line with our early 2024 expectations and likely not featuring record gasoline prices. I'm quite excited the seasonal rise in gas prices appears to be over, end quote.
The Woodstock Senior Citizens Club will meet Wednesday, May 1st at 12:30 p.m. at the Mescal Hornbeck Community Center at 56 Rock City Road. Ivy Gawker, director of the Woodstock Public Library, will give a talk on the library's events. In Tivoli, New York, the Southern Tier seniors will have their monthly meeting on Wednesday, May 1st at Mason's Hall on 7 North Road. Doors will open at 11 a.m. with a business meeting at noon. After the meeting, there will be a speaker from the Ulster County Sheriff's Office to give a talk on personal safety and scams. Coffee and tea will be available, and desserts will be provided by members whose last name begin A through C. Meetings take place on the first Wednesday each month. For more information, call Jim at 845-756-2960.
Can shopping make the world a better place? As the planet seems to spiral more and more out of control, some people are choosing to support local institutions concerned with contributing positively to society. The fashion industry is known to have a negative effect on the environment. According to Earth.org, it, quote, produces 92 million tons of waste each year, end quote. Vintage stores are far more environmentally friendly than those selling new products. They resell items that that might otherwise be added to a waste stream, but some vintage shops go a step further. They give to important causes, making the shopping experience that much altruistic. With shoppers spending less money on luxuries and more on necessities, socially responsible businesses, those concerned with creating an ethical business, improving the communities around them, provide a way for shoppers both to get what they need and to feel good about it. What easier way to be charitable than to shop in your own community at a small business that supports a good cause?
For all the students listening, here's the latest update from around our campus. The SUNY New Paltz Council will hold its next meeting at 3 p.m. on Thursday, May 2nd, 2024, in Hagerty Administration Building, 903 on campus. Reports will be given by Daryl P. Wheeler and Interim Council Chairperson Eli Bask. Also included on the agenda are student code of conduct updates presented by Kathleen Lieblich, Assistant Vice President for Student Well-Being, and Tatiana Perez, Director of Student Conduct and Community Standards, and a budget update from Michelle Halstead, Vice President for Administration and Finance. SUNY New Paltz Council meetings are webcast in accordance with New York State Public Officers Law, Section 103, which directs state agencies and public authorities to webcast all public meetings.
And now, top world headlines. Ecuador has moved to sue Mexico amid an ongoing diplomatic spat over Ecuador's former Vice President Jorge Glass. The conflict centers on Mexico's decision in early April to grant asylum to Glass, who had twice been convicted of corruption by Ecuadorian courts. In December 2017, Glass was sentenced to 6 years in prison after he was convicted on charges of accepting bribes from the Brazilian construction firm Obrec in exchange for government contracts. The conflict centers on Mexico's decision... Glass had been staying in Mexico's diplomatic compound in Quito since December. Then Ecuadorian authorities stormed the Mexican Assembly in Quito, arrested him, and imprisoned him in Guayaquil. In a filing with the United Nations top court, the International Court of Justice, Ecuador said the move by Mexico, quote, obstructed the proper administration of justice in Ecuador and constituted, among other things, a blatant misuse of the premises of a diplomatic mission, end quote. Ecuador also accused Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador of making, quote, false and injurious statements calling into question the legitimacy of the elections in Ecuador, end quote.
President Volodymyr Zelensky has said that vital U.S. weapons have started to arrive in Ukraine in small amounts, but that deliveries need to be faster as Russian forces continue to advance on the battlefield. Zelensky told a joint press conference in Kyiv alongside NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg on Monday that the situation on the battlefield directly depended on the speed of ammunition supplies to Ukraine. Quote, timely support for our army. Today I don't see anything positive on this point yet. There are supplies they have slightly begun. This process needs to be sped up, end quote, he said. Last week, the United States approved a $61 billion aid package, ending 6 months of congressional deadlock and raising Kyiv's hopes that its critically low stocks of artillery shells will soon be replenished as it fights off Russia's two-year invasion. Stoltenberg told Ukrainians that NATO members had failed to live up to their promises of military aid in recent months. Quote, serious delays in support have meant serious consequences on the battlefield, end quote, for Ukraine, he said. Quote, the lack of ammunition has allowed the Russians to push forward along the front line. Lack of air defense has made it possible for more Russian missiles to hit their targets, and the lack of deep strike capabilities has made it possible for the Russians to concentrate more forces, end quote, Stoltenberg said.
New coal mines continue to open each year, and oil and gas companies are still exploring new parts of the world. But increasingly, people, especially indigenous communities, are saying no to new fossil fuel developments on their land and using courts and legislatures to deliver the message. In India, protests by Adivasi communities persuaded officials to cancel the auction of land for coal mines in the biodiverse forests of Chhattisgarh state. In South Africa, the Mpondo people stopped the Shell Global Company from carrying out seismic surveys for oil and gas off the Wild Coast. In Australia, First Nations people blocked development of a coal mine in Queensland, forcing these types of cases in the fact that as climate concerns have risen, so has exploration for fossil fuels in many places, says Carlos Garcia Zendejas, a lawyer and director of the People, Land, and Resources Program at the Center for International Environmental Law.
Britain's newly ratified plan to put asylum seekers on one-way flights to Rwanda has drawn objections from human rights groups, British and European courts, the House of Lords, and even some members of Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's Conservative Party. The Irish government said last week that asylum seekers in Britain who fear being deported to Rwanda are instead traveling to Ireland. It is drafting emergency legislation to send them back to Britain, triggering a clash with its neighbor, which said it would refuse to accept them. Irish officials estimate that 80% of recent applicants for asylum crossed into the country via Northern Ireland, which is part of the United Kingdom, and with which the Republic of Ireland has an open border. That suggests that Britain's vow to deport asylum seekers to Rwanda is already having something of a deterrent effect, which was Mr. Sunak's sales pitch for the policy.
The United States and the United Kingdom have urged Hamas to accept an Israeli proposal for a truce in the Gaza war and the release of some hostages held in the besieged territory. British Foreign Secretary David Cameron said on Monday that the Israeli proposal delivered to Hamas includes a 40-day ceasefire in the Gaza war and the release of, quote, potentially thousands, end quote, of Palestinians prisoners in return for the release of some Israeli hostages. Egypt, Qatar, and the U.S. have been working to mediate an agreement between Israel and Hamas for months, but a flurry of diplomacy in recent days appeared to suggest a new push towards halting nearly 7 months of hostilities. That's all we have for today's world news. We're going to take another quick break before diving into today's top sports news. Your Edge News time is 7:20.
I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Are you facing foreclosure? Then come down to Megalow and Partners. We're a mortgage rescue company, and we can help you keep your house. Provided you submit to our plans for galactic domination. No, no, I'm kidding.
If you're facing foreclosure, talk to the right people. Speak with HUD-approved housing counselors free of charge at 888-995-HOPE. Brought to you by NeighborWorks America and the Ad Council.
You're just in time. Coach is making the call. It's time for the huddle, our spotlight on New Paltz athletics. The State University of New York at New Paltz concluded its 2024 season Saturday against Cortland and lost 17-6. The Hawks, 5-10 overall, 1-6 Suniac, stayed tight with the Red Dragons through the first 15 minutes as Ethan Scully tied the score at ones on a freed from Owen Craker. After Cortland answered, Deacon Hill tied the game following a good clear and save by Ryan Steinhardt. The Red Dragons took a 3-2 lead by quarter's end, which started a 5-0 run that allowed Cortland to take a 7-2 lead at halftime before outscoring the Hawks 4-1 in the third quarter to go up 11-3 entering the fourth. Thomas Armetta and James Flanagan scored back-to-back to cut the score to 10 with 5 minutes to play in the fourth, with Zach Schmidt capping the offense to solidify the 17-6 outcome.
The State University of New York at New Paltz swept its sixth straight Suniac series Friday after blanking visiting Buffalo State 2-0 and 6-0 respectively to extend its winning streak to the program record 17th straight game. The Hawks, 26-4 overall, 12-0 Suniac, surpassed last year's record of 16 straight wins in a season where they finished 31-13 overall, the most ever. The team has never gone undefeated in a conference play, but after another series sweep, they are six games away from claiming a spotless Suniac regular season record, with Fredonia coming in Saturday for their regular season finale. Backed by another steady day in the circle from SUNY, New Paltz's top two arms in Lindsey Roman and Sydney Walden, the duo gave up a combined 6 hits in 2 complete game shutout victories.
Minnesota Timberwolves head coach Chris Finch was helped off the court after a mid-game collision with point guard Mike Conley during the team's game against the Suns in Phoenix on Sunday. Finch suffered a rupture to his right patellar tendon, which connects the kneecap to the shin bone, a team spokesperson told CNN. The collision happened with just under 2 minutes left in the game. Conley was fouled by Suns guard Devin Booker as he was running up the court. Conley then collided with 54-year-old Finch, who was standing near the scorer's table, knocking the coach to the ground. Timberwolves players surrounded Finch as he was helped up and assisted to the locker room by staff members. Fans gave the coach a standing ovation as he left the court, and Timberwolves assistant coach Micah Norrie finished the game in his place.
Let's see what's new in the entertainment world. The Weeknd has donated $2 million from his EXO humanitarian fund in an effort to provide 18 million loaves of bread to help families in Gaza. The donation was made in tandem with the United Nations World Food Program, which will provide 1,500 metric tons of fortified wheat flour to feed more than 157,000 Palestinians. It comes on the heels of a previous donation of $2.5 million from The Weeknd in December 2023. That funding provided 820 metric tons of food parcels to feed 173,000 Palestinians for 2 weeks. He's also calling on fans to provide donations to those in need in Gaza. In January, he donated to the Los Angeles-based organization School on Wheels to support more than 1,000 students experiencing homelessness. He also gave millions of dollars to charitable organizations in recent years, including Ethiopia, Lebanon, COVID relief, and more.
Billie Eilish has announced an 81-date world tour starting later this year. The What Was I Made For singer confirmed dates in North America, Australia, and Europe from September. Billie previously told music website Billboard her latest tour would be her most sustainable yet, and she's partnered with an environmental group to organize it. Tickets for the tour, named after upcoming album Hit Me Hard and Soft, go on sale on the 3rd of May. Billie will start in Canada on September 29th before taking her show to the U.S. in October, then travel to Australia in February, arriving in Europe next April. The Oscar-winning singer has 12 UK dates, including 2 shows in Glasgow, 6 in London, and 4 in Manchester.
The Weeknd is over, and after 2 nights of drunken confessions, rejected fakes, and surprising hookups, we've got some tea for you. It's time for the Gossip Column. Mike Tyson is clearly taking his fight with Jake Paul seriously as he detailed elements of his training regime, which he says includes not smoking marijuana as well as abstaining from sex. Tyson, 57, will return to the ring to face YouTuber-turned-boxer Paul at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, on July 20th. Tyson will be 58 when the fight takes place. Quote, 2.5 weeks, I haven't smoked, end quote, Tyson told, quote, the Damon Elliott Show, end quote, and I haven't had sex for 2.5 weeks. Tyson was pictured with Elliott in an April 12th post on the latter's Instagram with the caption saying, quote, thanks for coming to my show today.
Fans flooded Justin Bieber's comments after he posted a few selfies of him crying on Saturday. In one of the photos, Bieber, who wore a light green bucket hat and white zip-up sweatshirt, had a tear swelling up in one of his eyes when he took the selfie. The second snap then showed the tear rolling down Bieber's cheek while he furrowed his brows and stared off to the side. The Grammy winner, 30, shared the selfies along with a variety of photos and also included pictures of him singing on stage at a hut in the middle of a forest. Bieber didn't include a caption on his photo dump, but also shared 5 other posts that also featured selfies, but he wasn't crying at any of them and actually smiled at most of them.
Today is April 29th. If you're celebrating, happy birthday from the Edge News staff. Here are some folks who share your special day. Actress Sochi Gomez turns 18, tattoo artist Ryan Ashley Malarkey turns 37, and comedian Jerry Seinfeld turns 70.
That's about it from us, folks, but before we go, let's take a look back at today in history. In 1983, Harold Washington is sworn in as Chicago's first black mayor. In 1852, the first edition of Roget's Thesaurus is published. In 1429, Joan of Arc leads French forces to victory over England at Orleans.
And that'll be it from us for the day. On Edge News staff, are our directors Alyssa Roldan and Jack Flowers. Tonight's engineer has been Alyssa Roldan. Sources for Edge News have been provided by The New York Times, The Gossamist, The Times Union, The Daily Freeman, BBC, CNN, and The New Paltz Oracle. Stay tuned for more cutting-edge music from the entire Edge News team. Have a beautiful night. Que de amor tan se muere, eso dicen por ahí. Sigue tu camino.